Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. A warm welcome this Friday evening. Familiarity is defined as knowing something or someone in such a way that can cause you to lose your admiration, your respect, or your sense of awe. In today's message, Bishop Dag will teach you the effects and impact that the spirit of familiarity can have once it enters the church or a Christian, and why it is something that you should be afraid of. Familiarity is the main force that has the greatest ability to neutralize and negate the gifts and power of God. I believe that from today's message, you will learn how to overcome this negative spirit. Be blessed by today's word.
All right, so I'm defining familiarity. Familiarity means to know someone or something, to know someone so well, and in such a way as to cause you to lose your admiration, your respect, and your sense of awe. All right? Shall I say it again? Familiarity means to know somebody so well. Or even if you don't know the person so well, to know a person in such a way as to lose your respect or your admiration or your sense of awe. All right? Are you with me? And I'm going to say it again, because familiarity is a very important thing that we need to know about. So I'm going to say it again, because you really need to understand familiarity. Amen. Familiarity. What is familiarity? It's to know someone, so well, or in such a way as to lose your admiration, respect, or your sense of awe. Okay? Are you with me? I'll say it again. Familiarity, all right, means to know someone, okay, so well, or in such a way as to lose your admiration, your respect, or your sense of awe. Are you with me? Are you listening? Okay. So I'm going to say it again so that you can get it. Have you all got it now? Familiarity is to know someone, okay, so well, or in such a way as to cause you to lose your admiration, your respect, or your sense of awe. So for instance, if you become familiar with Benny Hinn, it means that you know him so well, or in such a way as to lose your admiration, your respect, or your sense of awe, the sense of awe that you had or you have when Benny Hinn walks into this place. If he comes, or you get to know him in such a way, all right, that you lose that admiration or that respect. You see, when I say lose that respect, you'll be thinking about rudeness, which is just one dimension of familiarity. But it's something that you do in such a way that you lose the sense of awe and the admiration. Okay? So you may know someone so well, like you know the person over and over and over and over. You've seen the person over and over and over and over, that you lose your admiration or your sense of awe. And then you can also lose your respect, which is, I mean, the higher grade familiarity syndromes. Are you with me? Are you listening? Yes. For instance, if let's say I'm speaking, if you had a great sense of awe, you would be looking at me. But if you don't have a great sense of awe, you may not even raise your head to look at me. It's true. You may not even look. Or if let's say President Mahama walked in here, everybody would be looking. You are not likely to be texting whilst he just walks in. You see? So that's what I'm talking about tonight. Familiarity. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to read a scripture, but I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. And because of that, I'm going to read it myself and you just listen. David went home so he could ask the Lord to bless his family. But Saul's daughter, Michal, went out and started yelling at him. "You were really great today," she said. "You acted like a dirty old man, dancing half naked in front of your servant slave girls." And David told her, "The Lord didn't choose your father or anyone else in your family to be the leader of his people. The Lord chose me, and I was celebrating in honor of him. I'll show you how great I can be. I will even be disgusted to myself. But those slave girls you talked about will still honor me." Michal never had any children. 2 Samuel 6, 20 to 23. So, this is the very important thing, because Michal, who was the wife of David, was somebody who had lost her sense of awe. Otherwise, she wouldn't have come out yelling at him. So, wives of important people are some of the people who suffer a lot from familiarity. Wives of pastors, you should see some of them behaving like witches in the house. It's true. Recently I told a pastor's wife that she was a witch. A certain pastor's wife. And a couple of days ago, a certain person close to that lady said that I had said that she was a witch. And I said, I stand by what I said, and I stand by repeat it. She's a witch, and she behaves like a witch. When you behave like a witch, you are a witch, because we have never seen made witches made in whatever. That you saw the sign, the witch. There's nothing like that. We will know by your behavior whether you are a witch. It's true. I don't mean they are not pretty. I don't mean they are not nice. I'm talking about witch behavior. I don't know if you don't want me to preach, I will find another place to preach. Yeah. So, you'll find that those of you who are wives, you know, those of you sitting in the front row smiling here, and all of you, you better behave well, otherwise God will replace you with somebody else. Yes. Yeah. We've been, you see, I was a pastor, I was 25 years old when I became a pastor. When I was called pastor, the word pastor was used on me. And I'm almost 50. So I've been pastoring for about 25 years, being a pastor. So I've seen a whole lot of ranges of behavior, a whole lot of things. So just sit up, or you'll be exchanged. What do you think? You don't like me because I came to preach the truth. And I also don't like you. You get it? I'm here to preach the word of God. You see, T, I told you I was going home and you forced me to come. You should see some people when they are beloveds or they are going to get married. You should see the sense of awe. If you say A, they will say A. If you say jump, they jump. If you say come, they come. Everything is perfect. It's amazing. Till they sign the deal and then they lose their sense of awe. And they lose their sense of admiration. What people desire and wish they had. You will be sitting by it and lying by it and despising and misbehaving. And there's one of you in the Bible. This Bible is a wonderful book. Yeah. It's right there. So watch out. Sometimes God will allow it because he wants to punish the husband, or want the husband to be humble. So it will go on as long as that is supposed to be. But when that punishment is finished, because every punishment has, if it's 6 strokes, it has an end. 6. If it's 12, it has an end. 12. But when the punishment finishes and you are still punishing, you may be removed from there because your punishment is no more required from you. Yeah. You need the gift of working in the king's palace. That is working close to great people. You see, and you can also know when somebody is great by how outsiders receive the person. Because sometimes when you are with something great, after some time you don't know how great it is. So you can recognize how great what you have is by watching outsiders. How great they think what you have is. You know, because sometimes you are with somebody for a long time, so you lose the sense of awe. And you forget what, it goes on for so long that you forget what you have or where you are. So sometimes you should look outside and see how people see it. Sometimes you're in the church, you have a pastor, you don't think it's great. I remember one time I preached at the cathedral many years ago. It was a first service. There was an American man there after the service. And at that time, I was preaching the first time on Davidic principles of Davidic success or something. The very first time I preached. After the church, he came forward. I think he spoke to Bishop Saki. And he said, you know, this message, if you had preached this in America, in a church, he said the people would have been standing up and shouting and he was looking and he was amazed in that first service that people did not seem to understand the greatness of the things they were hearing. Yeah. So you need to look sometimes outside and you see what people see and you say, hey, you are helping me to see what I have. Because sometimes we don't know what we have. So that's one way to see what you have apart from death. Death makes you see how great what you had was. Like when Mrs. Saki died, we all saw how great she was. So death is one way to see what you have. Another way, easier way, is to see how outsiders think of what you have. Yeah. There are a lot of people who would like to be you. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 4, the Bible says, children in whom there was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, of whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So you see that there are some people who have the ability to stand in the king's palace. In other words, they have the ability to be near a king. You see, some people don't have the ability, just as some people don't have the ability to marry a pastor. Some people don't have the ability to marry a president. Some people don't have the ability to marry a rich man. In fact, some people don't even have the ability to marry a handsome man. It's true. When I say handsome, some people may stand out a little more, just like some ladies stand out. You know, more people would say, oh, this is a beautiful lady. Some people are also like seen as, this is a handsome man. And some people don't have the ability to marry such a person, because you'll be screaming every day out of insecurity that somebody is after your handsome man. So you don't have the ability. Do you get it? So some of you, when a very handsome man comes to you, just look and say, no, please, thank you. No, thank you. Just say, I don't have that ability. Everybody will like you, and I can't marry somebody everybody likes. Give me a cripple. Give me some other format. I can't take this. You are too good for me. You are too nice. It's true. I'm talking about people that have the ability to stand in the palace of the king. Not everybody. Some people talk too much to stand in the king's palace. You talk too much. One visit, you will speak and speak and you will tell everything that you saw. You will let out all the secrets of the government. You will chat when you shouldn't chat. You will talk to all kinds of people because you are a blabbermouth. You don't have that ability. And in the same way, some people don't have the ability to be near something that is great. Some people don't even have the ability to be in a great church. You should have been in another church so that you would have seen from afar and been full of awe and been able to receive and read and hear. Some people, you don't have the ability to be near somebody like Benny Hinn. Yeah. One time I was talking to one of his workers, and I was warning him about familiarity. I told him, I said, you have to be careful, because you don't know the kind of anointing that you are dealing with. Yeah. So you've got to be careful. There are bodyguards, there are people, all kinds of characters, so that they come around, they don't even understand what they are near to. Just they don't have that ability. So when you are in a church, or when you are near any kind of a man of God, some of you should even intentionally stay at a certain place so that you have a sense of awe. And if you are married, you must maintain a sense of awe for your husband. Yes, especially if you are a pastor's wife. Okay? Number two. Familiarity afflicts closest family and friends the most. Amen. If you remember, the family of Jesus Christ did not believe in him. And thank God that you were not born in those days. You may have gone on a lutta against Jesus. Amen. Number three, which is perhaps the reason, the only or the main reason which drew my attention to this spiritual condition. Are you listening? So number one, I gave you the definition. That is the first definition, what familiarity is. I'm just giving you some points. Number two, familiarity affects closest people. The closer you are, the more familiar you become. So you must be able to be close. It's not everybody can switch between the flesh and the spirit. If somebody is close to you, the person is in the flesh. The person operates as a human being. In the next moment, he's operating in the spirit. He can curse you, you will die. It's true. He can curse you, you will die. Number three, familiarity. This is the main point. It is actually this point that drew my attention to the importance of familiarity. And this is the point. Familiarity has the power, is the only thing I know of that has the power to neutralize the greatest gifts of God. Is the only thing that I know of that has the power to neutralize the greatest gifts of God. Is the only thing that I know to neutralize the greatest and the largest gifts of God. And I'm proving it to you from the scripture. Who is the greatest? Who was the greatest? Let me say the point again. Familiarity is the only thing that I know of that has the power to neutralize the greatest gifts of God. Not the devil. Not the devil. Familiarity. Not Satan. Not witches. Not witchcraft. Familiarity. And I'm reading. Don't bother to turn. I'll read it to you. You listen. And he went out from thence and came to his own country. That is Jesus Christ. And his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this that is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? And they were offended at him. And he, Jesus Christ, could there do no mighty works. His powers got finished. God's power, the power of the Son of God. He could not that he would not, or he did not want to, or he decided against it. He could, the Bible says, he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Mark chapter 6, 1. This Jesus Christ got to a place where he couldn't. He couldn't operate. I mean, not that he was Mills or Benny Hinn or any. He came to a place, and in that place, he could not operate. And obviously, he tried to operate, but he could not. He could not operate. He couldn't. He could not. So every pastor cannot operate. His gift, you will think you are not called when you work with familiar people. If you think God has not called you, you can easily resign from your calling when you stay with familiar people. I tell you. One pastor, he came to the Kodesh one time from America. And he was one of the most depressed people here. He said, I pastored the same church for 30 years. And they are left with, I don't know how many, less than 100 of them. He has been there for years and years and years and years. An American man. And he was worn out and tired. And I felt sorry for him. So, brothers and sisters, when you are used to something and you lose your sense of awe, you know, you are not able, the man of God with his power, Jesus Christ, You imagine if I was Jesus, I came here, I couldn't operate. He said, receive it. You ask, receive what? I said this, that you can, I cannot flow. Wow. What is it, demons? No. Familiarity. Because that is where they say he's a carpenter. He's this, his brother is this, his brother is here. And I'll show you how the familiarity if I have, you know, 5 minutes more. Amen. So this is why familiarity is something you should be afraid of. Yeah. In fact, let me tell you a secret between you and I. You know, I almost didn't let Benny Hinn come here. I took a decision at the last. I called one of my bishops and I discussed with him. It was something that he said that made me let Benny Hinn come. And the reason why I didn't want him to come was that I didn't want us to be familiar with him. I didn't want us to be familiar with him. Yeah. It's a very bad thing. All the blessings, you don't receive it again. It was a last minute, up to 2 weeks to 10 days before he came here. It was between coming or not coming. And I took a final decision about a few days before. In fact, he left America before I took the decision. He left America and came to South Africa before I took the decision. And then he said, okay, they will come. So when he came, he didn't even have a visa. Yeah, they got the visa there at the airport. Because I was debating. And the reason is this, what I'm preaching. Amen. Are you there? Number four. Familiarity is the cause of diminishing attendance at Christian programs. Amen. Number five. Familiarity is the greatest cause of spiritual barrenness. Amen. Because you cannot receive, you see, number five says it's the cause of barrenness. Because you don't receive, and because your spirit is closed, you no more are affected, and you no more become spiritual and fruitful by the person's ministry. The person does not impact you because you are used to him. Whereas somebody is sitting there with a mouth open like that, you are not impressed because you have become familiar. So it makes you barren and makes other people bear much fruit with your ministry, with the ministry. Are you there? Number six, you can be close to a man of God. Amen. Are you there? You can be close to a man of God without becoming familiar. Amen. John was so close to Jesus. Amen. And John described his relationship with Jesus Christ in 1 John chapter 1. He said, and listen, I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. It says, the one who existed from the beginning is the one whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes, and we touched him with our own hands. He is Jesus Christ, the word of life. This one who is life from God was shown to us, and we have seen him. And we now testify and announce to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was shown to us. We are telling you about what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father. Somehow, John was not affected by having touched Jesus. He said, we have seen him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. So he was close to Jesus, but even though he was so close, you know, He describes him in a way in the King James. He says, that which we have seen and that which we have looked upon. We have looked on him and we have seen. So it's like you have looked on in two ways. Because you can look at somebody in two ways. And you can analyze a person in a certain way. But after looking at him and even touching him, he said, this is God. This is God. This is God. Yeah. This is God. He looked at him and he also touched him. And he said, this is God. You see, so what I'm trying to explain to you is that there are some people, the coming close and being with the person, somehow they don't become, they don't develop that familiar, that thing which I'm calling familiar. Familiarity is what? Knowing someone in such a way. You see, you can know the person very well, but it doesn't affect your, how you, it doesn't affect something. It's almost like there's a chip that has to be not affected. You know, when they say something is waterproof, you know, you can swim with it, but it's like the water doesn't get to a certain part of the watch. It may get to the strap, to the glass, to where you want, but it doesn't get to a certain chip. And when it doesn't get to that place, you see that it's waterproof. So you as a Christian, you need to be familiarity proof. Yeah. So that you can be in it. You can touch it. You can see it. You can handle it, but somehow it has not affected you. Yeah. And that's how John was. And you see that at the end of his life and ministry on this earth, when Jesus was on the cross, it was John that he turned to and said that, that's your mother. In other words, he committed his only asset on earth, which was his mother, to this John. And John was close. They asked him, he put his head on Jesus' breast. You know, he touched him. He touched him. He was very close to him. And he put his head on Jesus. And the other disciples knew that John was one of this type of special children. So he said, ask him who is going to betray. It's like you are the close one. And he rather, you see, he describes Jesus in a way, the word of life, the Son of God. He who has the Son has life. In other words, he who has the one that I was holding, the one that I look at in a certain way, he who has him has life. He who has not the Son has not life. He's condemned already. It's like that close there have not affected him. Most of us are affected by that. We are affected. You have to see somebody three times. So as soon as the person starts to start yawning. So that is why sometimes you really need the distance. It's something you really need. Mary and Martha are also people who were close to Jesus. Jesus Christ ate in their house. And Jesus was so close to them that he could comment on their domestic behavior. When he told Martha, you are incumbent about so many things. He could see her moving up and down, up and down, up and down. Here, bringing glass tray, this, that. You know, this type of people who just want to impress you. When you are alone with your husband, you don't run, you don't even run. If he needs something, you do not move your big bottom and go and get that thing. When visitors come, you see yourself running around a Joe in prayer kind of. All these things, we are tired of all these, false women who just impressing people. Oh, come on. People are coming to the house, you are now putting on your wig. All this time you have been looking like a footballer in the house, and then now you want to go and put on a wig. Yeah. Just to impress people. So as he was moving up and down, Jesus said, look, what is this? What is this? What is this? He preferred this Mary sitting down, sitting at his feet, looking at him lovingly. And he was sharing the word of God. He said, look, she's better. She's better than you. He's up and up and up and down. Sweating, moving, impressions. But Mary and Martha were not affected. When Jesus came, to their brothers when their brother was dead. They said, if you had been here, he would not die. Even now, Lord, even now. As somebody who eats with them, who is so close to them. And Jesus was staying in their house, 11 miles from Bethany to Jerusalem. He was just there. He was going and coming. And they said, even now, you can. I know you are a great and powerful person. I've not lost my sense of awe and my admiration, even though I've seen you eating. Some people, if they give you food, never eat it. Because I tell you, they will be assessing what you're eating. Hey, he can eat. He likes chicken. He likes rice. He likes fufu. He likes apraprasa. Never eat it. And I'm sure after Jesus ate, he will say, because a lot of brothers do that. After eating on toilet, they have not grown out of the babyhood stage. So when Jesus finished eating, straight he may have gone to the toilet and shouted to Martha, I need some toilet paper. Toilet roll is finished. Or the water is not running. Or after Jesus finished, Martha or Mary have to come and sort out the place. And I tell you, with some people, when they go to toilet, it's not a small thing if you go after. But still, when Jesus came there, he said, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Never, it would never happen if you were here. And even now, 4 days later, I have a feeling, Jesus, that there is some power somewhere. Even now. Yeah, you see, this is when you see somebody who has not been affected by familiarity. The number one thing that can neutralize the highest gift. That's why I advise all pastors, don't be afraid of being transferred. Sometimes being transferred is the greatest blessing to take you away from those that have grown familiar. They don't even value you anymore. Because they have looked upon you in a way, they have touched you in a way, they don't even know what they have. When you are a pastor and you keep moving, you grow to sense the familiarity in different groups. Even the crusade team, sometimes I know, I can see that, you know, when we go from place to place, we ourselves, we have come to see that God's power moves not really depending on us, but depending on the people that we meet. It more depends on the people than on the person who is coming. Yeah. You learn it when you start traveling. You know, that your anointing seems to be more when you are at certain places. So these are wonderful truths about familiarity. And then I believe that it is a great blessing. So how do you know familiarity? Just a quick, you know, I'll just give you one or two points. One is when someone finds fault with his leader, you know, or with his person. And when somebody does something, bad things occur to you. You realize you've become familiar. Thoughts occur to you that what this person is doing is not right. You know, or he's preaching too long. Or this is the same message he preached last week. Or he's repeated his sermon for 40 minutes and now he's left with 5 minutes. He says he's now going on to today's message. And you are able to see all these faults. Familiarity is seen when somebody attempts to correct his leader. Number two. Number three, familiarity is seen. And you see, in the marriage situation, you see when somebody who was your sheep will never say anything before you marry the person. Now that you've married the person, somebody was your sheep, 12 years younger than you. She is now correcting you and telling you, correction upwards is rebellion. Number three, I'm just mentioning a few. When someone uses privileges without asking anymore, you don't even ask. You start just using. Come and sit on my chair. When you have not been asked to sit. Or you come and sit by somebody when you have not been asked to sit by the person. It shows familiarity. Familiarity is seen when people don't say thank you anymore. You are used to the blessings. You don't say, oh, that was a good word anymore. Because you've had a good word every day. So there's no more a good message. Pastors, some of you, it's a long time since somebody told you, Pastor, I've never heard anything like this before. But I remember the first time you preached, I said, hey, I was so blessed. I've never heard anything like this before. That's what Bishop Saki used to tell me. Bishop Saki is somebody who has, if you want to overcome familiarity, you may see him. Because that's what he used to tell me, and he still has that attitude towards me. Yeah. He's one of the first person, my wife too, he's one of the first people who said to me, he has never heard anything like that before. Yeah. And you, some of you. You hear the message. It's not even something that you will even buy. Familiarity is seen when somebody enters your room or office without knocking. Familiarity is seen, number 7, 8, 9, when somebody yawns and sleeps when you preach. Sometimes I feel like bringing a jar of flies with a top. Screw it. Every time I see that you want, I'll put one inside the mouth like that. But pastors, you can watch out the yawns of people. I've never taken a yawn lightly. It's something that affects me when I'm ministering. Because I can sense a level. If you come and start preaching, everybody starts. It's yawning is a kind of physical preparation for boredom. Do you understand? It's a physical and psychological preparation for boredom, or for something that goes for a long time that we need to have a long distance anointing to withstand. And it's a message which says, I know it all. So familiarity is exhibited when somebody walks around, chats, talks whilst you are preaching. Amen. And last of all, familiarity is revealed when somebody is rude. Somebody who can be rude to you. You got to watch out for people who can be rude. Everybody will say, I cannot be rude. But you got to watch out for those who can be rude. And finally, familiarity is revealed when people are rude to people you delegate. When I send somebody to you, you are rude to the person. It reveals you don't respect. If you got somebody, if I see a soldier standing outside and I say, the president has asked for you to come, I'll immediately start shaking. But the president wants me. You understand? But if they tell me that, oh, there's one Mr. Mensah outside, he wants me. I say, tell Mr. Mensah to wait. I'm coming. But if they say the president So your reaction to a delegated person reveals your level of familiarity. And so I pray that God will grant you the grace that in relation to all the great gifts that God sends to us, we will never lose our sense of admiration and awe and respect. Not that you have to respect anything, but so that you can receive and you will not become a Mikal of today. Somebody who should have been able to sit by the king. But you see, you can't blame her. She had been a king's daughter. She had been in the king's house. So being with a king is nothing great. So my friend, the way of dancing is not a royal dance. That royal dance, we don't dance like that in a bushman. I'm sure she told him that you are a bushman. Yeah. How many agree that that's how people talk? My friend, this is not how to behave, eh? I've been a king's daughter for years. In the palace, there's nobody like you behaving like this. And David said, God chose me. God chose me. And God likes me. And God is using me. Be careful with familiarity. It will cut you off. For me, I tell you, I'm always smelling for familiarity. Yeah. And you see, the way to overcome familiarity is not the subject of this service. But many things that I do is because of familiarity. Places I don't go, things I don't do often, and things I do is from familiarity. And if you are with me, I'm always looking in your face. I'm always looking in your eyes. I'm always looking at your actions to see whether you still or you receive me. Yeah. Because I'm not the best. I'm not the only one. Maybe you don't anymore receive it. And you see people, when you advise them, they don't listen anymore. They've grown used to some years ago. If you say A, they'll say, yes. If you say do this, so many of pastors, if I was to say to do this, they would just do it. But now when you say do, they just look at you and say, it's true. I have a lot of pastors when I tell them, they don't do it. Plenty. And I watch them. And that's what I've also learned, to allow God to bless me with what I know. Those who cannot receive it should be in their world. And I also be in my world. And I'll keep moving on and shooting ahead. Everybody can say, but I say, let him that is ignorant be ignorant still. Because you can share with people with things that they don't see it as well. Some years ago, if you had sat down there and talked, they'll say, even to be with you in the same room, Bishop, even to be with you in the same room. Well, look at them now. Stand to your feet. Let's go with close. All right. Let us pray. Lift your hand and thank God for his word today. And just pray in the spirit for a few minutes. 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 Shandala babaka. Tela manda samandara baba. Lembreste jalberigose talmagadase. Oh yes. Oma shandali mama sandele mekem bandara baba mandara. Oh raman bara maranda sandala baba mandara baba. Okay, I'm Dora Bro Shiri Brian, Dora Bro, Dora Bro, Dora Bro, Dora Bro, Dora Bro. Oh, yes, we give you thanks. We give you praise, Lord. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be a minister of the gospel and to preach for many years and to continue preaching and to overcome the enemies of the gospel and the enemies of preaching and the enemies of ministry. And the enemies of the anointing and them that are opposed to the gift of God and those whose horns are lifted up against your anointed and your pastors, your messengers, and those who love you and those who have dedicated themselves to you. I thank you that your power and your wisdom is a sword that cuts off the horns of the high and mighty, that stand with eyes of scorning and pride against all who love you. Father, we thank you as we lift up our hands to thank you that the enemies of Christ are smashed and blocked, that their power is limited against your word and against your servants and against your anointing. Let now a river flow freely into the lives of your children, that they may experience the fullness of the grace and the abundance of blessings that come freely from you through your servants into the lives of your people. Take away emptiness and barrenness that comes from the foolishness of familiarity. Take it out of our lives and our hearts, O Lord. Cause us to be saved from the spirit of Michal, the spirit of the scorner, the spirit of the mocking eye, the mocking bird, the wicked eye that looks upon and despises your servant with eyes of wickedness. We rebuke those eyes in Jesus' name. We command and declare the blessings of the Lord upon the Johns of our life and the Martas and Marys of our lives. Let them experience waters, fountains, and rivers of fresh water, Lord, flowing in their life. What are their grasses for them, Lord? What are their plains? What are their flowers? Let them smell beautifully and let them bring forth fruit abundantly. But, oh God, we lift up our hand upon the deserts and those that mock your servant. Let them be a bigger brown desert than the Sahara Desert, Lord. Let there be nothing that grows in their fields. Let nothing work for them. Hey, let there be no life among those that lift up their horns and their eyes and their spirits against the Moseses and the Joshuas and the Davids of our time. Let their ground be like powder, and the heavens above, let it be like iron and brass. Let there be no rain from above and no rivers from below. Let no one be able to dwell in their lands. We lift up a curse of desolation on all those that lift up their horns against your anointed and your pastors, your workers and your prophets, Lord, and your apostles. Let them stand where others couldn't stand, and let them prevail where others couldn't prevail. Let there be no man or woman, or Jezebel, or entity or spirit that is able to withstand or stay in their presence and oppose them. Yea, God, we pray that there will be a fresher, thicker oil and ointment flowing from the heads of your servants. Let them be more anointed than ever. Guide their eyes to go where they ought to go and to see the paths upon which they must walk, that they may be fruitful. Save them, O God, from their own countrymen who despise their gift and despise their calling. Cause and navigate them, Lord, through the wilderness, and cause them to come to the green fields where they are called to minister. I thank you, Lord, for round about your servants shall be green grass, grasses of blessing, grasses that have been watered by the anointings and the oils and the butters that are flowing from you, O God. Let it now flow from Zion, O God, and bless the plains of your people. Let them experience your goodness as it comes from the hand and the mouth of those you have called to serve. Thank you. Thank you for the churches, Lord, for that the churches prosper and are blessed through the pastors you have raised up in this great ministry. Water them, O God. Send away those who despise the young men and those who despise those pastors you have called and have sent into different churches. Dry them from the roots, I pray. Dry the mocking eyes from their roots. Take them from their roots, Lord. Let them wither and let them fade away from the congregations. Yes. Take away Michals and daughters of kings that despise the kings and the anointed servants, your anointed ones. And bless the kings. Bless the servants of the Lord. Help them to live long. Help them to survive. Help them to prevail. Help your children to prosper in the land of the living. And now, Lord, we thank you for an abundance all around us. Because, not because of the works of a man, but because the works of God have been allowed to flow freely in our midst. Inhibitions and inhibitors are removed from our presence. We thank you. We curse them, Lord. And we say, your blessing be upon them that honor and respect and receive your servants. Thank you. Raise up more Johns the beloved and more Martas and Marys in our midst, whose eyes will never fall to the ground, whose eyes will never be disappointed, whose eyes will never despise those who you have raised up in this land and in this time. Thank you. For I see many of them all around. What a blessing you have given to us. We thank you, Father. And for every hand that is lifted up to receive your word with a free heart, we speak upon them a great blessing from above. Let your heavenly helping hand hold the hand that is lifted up and lift them up to the next level upon the mountain of God. Let them go higher. Let them be at a higher place. Let them be lifted to the better places, oh God, of your mountain. Let them stand at a better and a higher place. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name. I thank you for this great blessing that is released upon all this wonderful congregation in the midst of the living, in the midst of them that love you and serve you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.